Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another special edition of the Feuersteins Fire American Soccer Show. Tonight, we will recap the decisions made by FIFA to allow 16 cities within three countries in the North Zone of CONCACAF to be awarded matches for the 2026 FIFA World Cup. Later on tonight, we'll be joined by Carter Krishnayer of World Soccer Talk as we will be discussing this. And you know what? I have to say this, ladies and gentlemen. What an event this is going to be when the World Cup returns to the United States, joined with our North Zone friends, north of us in Canada, south of us in Mexico. This has been probably one of the most anticipated moments that we've been waiting for a very long time. Two cities in Canada, three cities in Mexico, and the rest of the field here in the United States. And, you know, before we begin this show, and we'll have Carter Krishnayer on from World Soccer Talk once again, later on this show, I have to say this. When 1994 came around, I was 21 years old. Of course, you know, just getting started as a soccer fan again when I was a kid. My father drove me to Giant Stadium. We watched the New York Cosmos play. No, I don't think I've ever saw Pele play when he was with the Cosmos. I did see Giorgio Canalia play for the Cosmos at the time. But to see what Giant Stadium was filled to the hilt of soccer fans, watching them play, giving a match, the amount of people that were dedicated to the sport back in the day, and to see some great, great footballers of that time coming to North America was a wonderful, wonderful thing to see. Then, of course, the NASL died. Talks of bringing a World Cup to the United States. And the only way they were going to be awarded the World Cup was, were there going to be plans of a true first division league? That league, 2 years later, was Major League Soccer in 1996. At that time, in the summer of 1994, celebrating a Stanley Cup championship with the New York Rangers, sad that the New York Knicks could not win the NBA title over the Houston Rockets, but then jumping from those two moments into a World Cup was just unbelievable to watch and unbelievable to see how much joy the World Cup brings to everyone coming over to our nation to celebrate the world's greatest game. At that time, I was a college kid working down at Walt Disney World, spent the summers of 94 through 98 working down at Disney World as a cast member. I did the Disney College program back in spring of 1993. And to see how people were going crazy for the World Cup, the night where at the time in Orlando at the Citrus Bowl, now called Camping World Stadium, Mexico faced Republic of Ireland, defeated them 2-0, and then that evening went to Pleasure Island, had a fun time dancing, met some couples who were together from Mexico, all from Mexico. As the music was playing, a couple dancing inside a circle of their friends, and it was just funny to watch. And I asked, what's the big celebration about? And they said, Mexico win, Mexico win. And it was just unbelievable to see how happy they were to Mexico won a group stage match in the 1994 FIFA World Cup over the Republic of Ireland. And to see that happen, I said to myself, this sport is magical. Not only does it create magical moments, it also creates magical things when people are happy and excited. Anytime you talk about the World Cup, it is a massive moment and everyone comes together no matter where you come from or who you are. As soon as the next World Cup cycle came, that started in 2003, going on vacation, back to Walt Disney World, visit friends, for 1998, it was just a fun time to hang out. Later on, 2002, successful World Cup for the U.S. men's national team, going to the quarterfinals, losing to Germany 1-0, of course defeating Mexico 2-0 in the round of 16 before that, went back to Disney World in December of 2002, or probably was December of 2003, and got my information for World Cup qualifying groups in all six confederations. It was a great time for me because I went straight to Epcot on the day of the draw because I didn't know where to watch it. But I went to, at the time, it was called Interventions. Went to their computer section. Of course, ESPN at the time was owned, of course, still owned by by Disney as well as ABC. Went to the computer. I got my pieces of paper where I can fill in the spots for all the confederations of course, CONCACAF, UEFA, Africa, and Asia, and Oceania. You don't have to worry about South America because that's self-explanatory. Went to have dinner at the UK Pavilion at the Rose and Crown Pub. Decided to help out the English by filling out their World Cup qualification group and got a free pint of beer out of it. The Scots helped the Irish, helped the Welsh, helped the Northern Irish. I was on a four-day pass. Went back to Epcot on the fourth day. Helped out the French, helped out the Italians, the Norwegians. Helped out those that were going to watch World Cup qualifying. A lot of happy faces. Everyone was excited. It was a fun time. This is what this sport does, and this is what this tournament does when it comes to your nation, to your soil. To see the people in New York City outside of the Fox building in Midtown Manhattan, to see all of the watch parties across this nation was just awesome to see. It was absolutely a brilliant sight to see, a wonderful sight to see. Everyone ready for the World Cup, excited that when this World Cup starts and finishes in Qatar, it's coming to North America. Once we get to the 1st of January of 2023, so that we can start the plans for qualification and for the U.S., for Mexico and Canada to take their break as host nations for this up-and-coming World Cup tournament. I think there's excellent choices here. Maybe one or two or three new choices. Obviously, there's been some disappointments that certain cities will not get the World Cup for a second time in a row. Unfortunately, that's the breaks. And I'm not saying that, ha-ha, whatever. No, that's not correct. That's not correct. Honestly, In all honesty, all you guys say is this. This is going to be a fun time. All the bars will be filled to the hilt watching these World Cups. This is going to be massive. This is what makes everything so special. This is what makes everything so good. We're all going to come together. We're all going to have some fun. We all hope that the next World Cup that will be here, it will be the biggest run for U.S. soccer. Maybe we'll see Canada make a run. Maybe Mexico will get out of the round of 16 for once. We don't know what will happen, but one thing is for sure, and that is this is going to be a lot of fun for not only this upcoming November, but also for 2026. And I personally cannot wait. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be a lot of fun. We are going to have a hell of a time. And now we can start planning for not just this World Cup, but for the future World Cup that's coming 4 years down the road. This is exciting. This is fun. This, my friends, is what we've all been waiting for. What we've all been hoping for. And I cannot wait. This is going to be exciting. And we are going to have a party. This will be a party, without a doubt. This is going to be exciting. This is what we've been waiting for. The return of the World Cup here in CONCACAF, here on our shore, on our soil, joined by our friends in Canada and to the north, and to our friends to Mexico in the south. I know Mexico is going to be trying to fight to have that final return to the Estadio Azteca when they were the solo hosts those last two times. I think we're deserving to have the final championship match hosted here on American soil. Joining me right now, Carter Krishnai from World Soccer Talk, as we discuss the selections of our host cities in all three nations of the North Zone. Carter, welcome back. Happy time as a soccer fan in this area of the world, and as well as CONCACAF. This has been excruciating to watch, but still, though, exciting and fun that we finally know where these matches will be played in 4 years' time.
Yeah, so some straightforward picks. I mean, I think places like Los Angeles, Toronto, Mexico City. I think those three we knew for sure. We assumed New York, New Jersey, MetLife. And then after that, I think we probably thought Seattle and Vancouver, right? But there were some people who thought maybe you avoid the whole Pacific Northwest, which I think would not have gone over well. And I think if you pick one, you have to pick the other, right? So Vancouver, Seattle, both across the line. But some other picks that I guess people might feel controversial. Kansas City is one. I certainly think – look, it's tough. I would have gone Orlando, Nashville, and not Atlanta, Miami. I would have picked two completely different cities than they picked in the Southeast. So we could talk about that. No Baltimore, that was pretty disappointing to me. I think otherwise it's pretty straightforward. I mean, I guess if you're saying Kansas City was competing with Cincinnati, I think Kansas City is the better choice of those two. But still, it seems like there was a lot of sentiment for Cincinnati for whatever reason. I think ultimately KC was probably a pretty good choice.
I think so, too, and because, you know, the Hunts own the Chiefs in Kansas City, and I think, you know, to have it both, you know, in Kansas City and Dallas were the most logical choices. We all know Jerry Jones was going to, you know, kick and scream to have a World Cup match or a couple of matches, you know, where the Cowboys play. So, and, you know, the Hunts are very influential running soccer, not just with FC Dallas and Frisco and having the Hall of Fame there, but, you know, also owning the Chiefs and, you know, what Lamar Hunt has done for the sport in the United States. I think it was going to be a natural fit that Kansas City was going to be in there for this selection. You know, Houston also involved with this. I was actually shocked they were going to have two Texan cities involved with this selection process. I thought one or the other.
Yeah. So Daniel, Houston is a city that has no history of hosting anything ever. So they're the only city, I think, of the cities selected in all three countries that has no history of really hosting high-level matches in this sport beyond some friendlies. They have had some Gold Cup matches there, but they don't have the history of the other venues who have all hosted something. Maybe Atlanta hasn't either, now that I think about it. But Houston did surprise me. I thought Dallas was a lock also, I should have mentioned.
Yeah, exactly. But I'll say this for Houston. The only time they ever had a big match, I don't know if you want to call it a big match, obviously, but Argentina against the United States, the Copa America Centenario semifinal was at Houston. So that was definitely a big match there. But, yeah, I agree with you. Nothing screams out to me that Houston is, you know, a huge, big match city when it comes to the World's Game. But there's probably been friendlies there, Gold Cup matches there. Obviously, Canada and Mexico in one of the semifinals of the last Gold Cup last summer before the final in Vegas. I'll be honest with you. I'm actually a little surprised that Las Vegas – did not get picked at Allegiant Stadium, did not get picked in Las Vegas because of the Gold Cup final that the U.S. and Mexico had, which was well attended.
I don't think FIFA wants to take it. I don't think they're quite where U.S. sports are now or British sports, right? The Premier League would more than they have betting companies on their shirts. I don't think FIFA wants to go there yet. We know it took U.S. sport a long time to do anything in Vegas, right? It's just been in the last few years that they've opened up to that possibility. So I think that's why, Daniel, this World Cup were in 2030, Vegas very well might have been a host city. It's getting over that kind of, you know what I'm saying, the gambling aspect of it that mm-hmm. rubs some people the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. Absolutely. But you know what? Once again, Los Angeles – already, SoFi Stadium has already been announced in this announcement as the host stadium for these World Cup matches. I mean, let's be honest, it's a brand new stadium. And, you know, there are some there saying, well, they should go back to Pasadena, which I don't think FIFA is going to go back to the older stadiums, you know, the college football stadiums. They want to be in newer venues. Obviously, SoFi is one of them. There's no way I would have seen them go back to the Rose Bowl. There's no way they were going back to Washington, D.C., obviously. I mean, you would have thought maybe FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland, in the D.C. area. And that's the one thing I think many people were very shocked to see, Washington, D.C. not getting a World Cup match at all. Obviously, you got the new Nationals Park, the baseball stadium. Audi Field for the MLS, D.C. United was not big enough for a World Cup match. No one's going back to RFK. And, of course, there's these talks of, you know, moving out of Maryland for the Commanders to go to Virginia, which obviously we don't know what's going to happen with that stadium. But the truth of the matter is that
Daniel,
that's a shocker.
Yeah, it's not a shocker so much that they didn't put games in Landover. I don't think they were going to do that. The shocker is it was assumed from all of my sources, all the people I talked to, that Baltimore was going to be a host city. And that would kind of, you know, that would kind of do it for the capital region, right? For the nation's
uh-huh.
capital. Okay, you're not having D.C. if you're having games in Baltimore. Close enough. Somehow Philadelphia or Boston snuck in back in at the last moment. Or my sources were all wrong, which is possible. But as I jumped on Twitter, other people were saying the same thing, that they, you know, they thought Baltimore or Washington was over the line. I had been told it was Baltimore. So that's pretty surprising, because I think you're then now looking at a situation where you don't have matches in the National Capital Region. You're going to have games in Foxborough, which Boston is one of the great cities, one of the great places in North America, one of the most historic places. So you love to have that metropolitan area represented, but they do not have an urban venue for this sport. Full stop. You don't have other, and that would be, you know, that could be the case against Landover, right? Which is, by the way, closer to Washington, D.C. than Foxborough. Foxborough is actually, depending on traffic, it's that easier to get to Foxborough from Providence than it is from Boston. So
it is.
I don't like the Boston choice as much as I like Boston. And I think, you know, what you do there is you bring Baltimore or Washington back into the mix, whether it's Baltimore or Washington. Either way, I think Baltimore is probably better. But then you have that region covered. So right now you don't have a World Cup venue between Atlanta and Philadelphia. And that's
right. That's
a big geographic expanse. And then you have a clump of venues, right? You've got New York, you got Philly, New York, Boston, Toronto. They're all very close to each other.
Yes, they are. And I think that was a very good job
picked,
there.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Montreal got picked. Yeah, so Montreal.
Yeah, no, Montreal did not get picked.
Montreal did not get picked, sorry. So you have Toronto, Boston, New Jersey, and Philly pretty close to each other. Okay, that's four. I was thinking Montreal got picked and it was five. So it's still, if it had been five, that's overkill in one region.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Edmonton was supposed to be in the, you know, in the conversation, but they pulled out. So, and that's unfortunate for the Central, because I thought at least in the Central region, maybe even in the West, because Edmonton's probably, Alberta's more west and more Western Canada than Central. But still, though, you know, having Vancouver and Toronto involved is excellent. And the truth of the matter is this, Kartik, outside of Mexico, when you look at these stadiums, you know, when you're talking about true football venues, I mean, BMO Field is really the only true MLS stadium that's going to be used for World Cup matches, where the other venues in the United States, you know, they're not going to a 20,000 to 25,000 seat stadium where MLS has games. I mean, if they ever expanded their stadiums, I mean, obviously then maybe that'll be the next time we host a World Cup somewhere in the, you know, distant future. But right now the NFL stadiums are the ways to go. And, you know, the San Francisco Bay Area, Levi Stadium, that's a venue where, to be honest with you, I didn't think they would go over to the Bay Area. I thought that they would go somewhere else in the West. I thought maybe they would go on to Glendale in Arizona. I thought maybe they were going to get a chance to host a World Cup match or two. But that kind of surprised me with Levi Stadium in the Bay Area of San Francisco.
Yeah, I think also, we mentioned Vancouver earlier. Vancouver got chosen. That's why Montreal wasn't chosen. But I guess because they picked Vancouver, you almost knew they would pick Seattle, right? Now, San Francisco is another one, right? I think that surprised some people. When we talk about these venues specifically, how many of these venues have had soccer in mind when they were built? Obviously, the stadium in Miami is very good for soccer. We know that it's been renovated. Stephen Ross has a lot of money invested in this sport, right? He's effectively the broker for La Liga in this country and now has assumed the same relationship with UEFA. So we know that stadium's fine. We know Arthur Blank built Mercedes-Benz with soccer in mind. But then when we get beyond that, we're looking – and I think MetLife also has been built with soccer in mind. But when we get beyond that, we're bringing Foxborough back into this. We're bringing Lincoln Financial Field in Philly back into this with this very – and I think that might have been the thing that killed Baltimore. It's a very tight pitch at that stadium. Seattle, I guess, you know, is I assume Seattle's going to have to put grass in, right, for the World Cup?
Yep. So is Atlanta.
Okay, so is Atlanta, right. No, I mean, Atlanta, they would do it. It's in Seattle where if you start talking about grass with some of these people from Seattle or Portland, they get very angry. They get very and some of them may be listening to the show, Daniel, so I hate to say this, but you've dealt with this too, that people, a lot of Seattle and Portland fans, they when you say something negative about turf, they treat it like it's a family member of theirs. And, so Seattle will have to do that. So San Francisco, that's a venue that is okay for soccer. And then I don't like the choice of SoFi over the Rose Bowl. Like you, I don't like that. Maybe it's the sentimentalist in me, but I understand the optics of having presumably the World Cup final will be either in Los Angeles or New York, right? Or New Jersey, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard rumors about MetLife hosting the final in 2026, but that could change. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what happens. But for now, I mean, we don't know where the final is. I've heard rumors that's going to be at MetLife. Maybe you've heard rumors it'll be at SoFi. We'll have to wait and see. But until then, these are the venues.
I just assume it'll be one or the other. I mean, the only other place that could, in the U.S., that could sneak in would be Miami, but I think it would be a distant third. So I think it would be L.A. or New Jersey, right, for the final?
Right. That's what I've heard myself as well.
I think that it's going to be important also for us right here to acknowledge that this the need to have large stadiums for the U.S. component has taken Chicago out of the mix, which is really unfortunate from my perspective. Mm-hmm. And I know in 2009 I was on a call with Sunil Gulati. This is going way back, but this is when they were bidding on. Oh God, what year were they bidding on then? 2018. They were bidding on the 2018 World Cup in 2009 U.S. Soccer, and they had narrowed down their.
Yeah, because that was. Yes, because that was then where FIFA and Sepp Blatter were accepting bids for two different World Cup years. 2018 in Russia, and this one coming up now with Qatar. And we were supposed to get the one for this summer, but as we all know, the underhandedness of 2022, being that Qatar won it, and now we're going to have it in the Thanksgiving, Christmas area, and not when they're supposed to be now.
So there was an assumption going into that, right? It was a joint bid, and it felt like England was the front runner for 2018, and the U.S. was for 2022. Although there were reasonable arguments that hey, maybe you take 2018 to Spain, Spain and Portugal, and you take 2022 to Japan, right? There were reasonable arguments mm-hmm. for that, and people voted that way. But both Russia and Qatar, let's remember, came out of nowhere and made a deal with one another and with FIFA, and we know what happened in both getting awarded the World Cup on that same day. But my point was that I was on a call with Sunil Gulati in 2009 when I was in better stead with U.S. soccer, I'll just put it that way. So I was on some of these calls, and he talked about Chicago and said basically – We didn't want to cut them. The stadium is too small, and we hope by 2018 or 2022 when we host, and now it's 2026, they have a stadium that fits the minimum requirement for what we need to do in terms of ticket sales. They still don't have that. So, unfortunately, that meant it was Kansas City or Cincinnati, and KC got it. I mean, what do you think of that, Daniel? What do you think of KC over Cincinnati? I know that's a big talking point for people.
You know, honestly, I think Kansas City, like I said before, I mean, the Hunts being involved in soccer in this country was a part of it. You know, look, I think Sporting Kansas City supporters for both in the Missouri part and the Kansas part has in reality shown they can support the game. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's a Sporting Kansas City match or a USA match, whether it be a World Cup qualifier, a friendly, or a Gold Cup match. I think in the Midwest, soccer has really grown in popularity. I can definitely tell you, talking with Jay Mims, head coach of Union Omaha, and they're on a U.S. Open Cup run right now, and they're going to be taking on Sporting Kansas City this coming Wednesday in the Open Cup quarterfinals. The Midwest has really grown into becoming a huge soccer area within this country. I mean, you could definitely say whatever you want about St. Louis because, you know, that's all you have ever heard about. But to see how Kansas City has grown, to hear now Omaha, Nebraska, how it's grown, I think the Midwest has really grown to say that they can support the sport. And if you are going to get tons of people to fly over and, you know, go and attend a match in Kansas City at Arrowhead, I think it's a huge win for them.
I'm going to give away a trade secret now from my NFL days. So, and the guys at Union Omaha, Matt Hominoff and others, really smart guys who were around that know this and got to the right markets. Omaha was number one on our board for expansion for a long time, even though we went to Jacksonville, even though we went to San Antonio was number one. We went there, but and Austin, obviously, we wanted to get into, and USL got back into it first after Austin moved from Orlando, right? Orlando wasn't on our expansion board because we thought either – because we had a team in Tampa, and we thought that MLS might go to Orlando, which they did eventually, but we could have had that market for a few years. But Omaha was number one on our board, ahead of the places we expanded to, ahead of Oklahoma City, ahead of Jacksonville, ahead of where else did we put new NASL teams, ahead of Indianapolis, actually, believe it or not, as well as successful as that team has been, although that they were high too. And if we had relocated the Minnesota team, remember Minnesota was league-owned, as you remember.
Yes.
Daniel, if we relocated Minnesota, if Bill Edwards hadn't come in, Bill McGuire from United Healthcare hadn't come in and bought the team and then obviously took him to MLS and still is a part owner of the team in MLS, we would have moved that team. We either would have shut down the team or we would have moved them to Omaha. That's the place we would have gone. That's how good a market we even thought that was in 2011. And so I'm really thrilled to see how Union Omaha is doing. But, yeah, so fans from Omaha, you know, another really good soccer town is Wichita, believe it or not.
Yep.
A lot of fans there. They'll go to games in Kansas City, St. Louis. Obviously, the home, really kind of the spiritual home of the sport in this country. Sorry, Seattle fans, again, I'm taking my second shot at Seattle today, but it's St. Louis, not Seattle. I know they think they invented the game in Seattle. So I think it's great that Kansas City's getting games. I feel bad for Cincinnati, though, because I think recently we've seen Ohio really emerge as a soccer hub to the point that I really think USL needs to take another stab at Cleveland and see if they can do something in that market with MLS firmly established in Columbus and in Cincinnati. I would even love to see NWSL team or a USL women's team in one of those cities. And Louisville is right across the river from Indiana, very close to Ohio.
Yep.
And Indianapolis
yep.
is very close to Ohio. So I think logically, in terms of just soccer fans in the surrounding area, Cincinnati was a logical choice. But, yeah, you make a very strong case about Kansas City and also the Hunt family. We can't I hadn't thought about that. That's absolutely right, Daniel. They are – we're here because of them, really.
That's right. No, we are here because of Lamar Hunt and the entire family. His sons have done a great job continuing to promote the game. Of course, bringing the Hall of Fame from Oneonta, New York, to Frisco to be a part of the FC Dallas Stadium complex. Of course, the Dallas Cup, the youth tournament that's over there as well. You know, Dallas, the Dallas-Frisco area has been a huge area for sport, for soccer in this country. And once again, you know, you have to thank the Hunt family for getting all this done and taken care of. You know, obviously, when 94 came, it was at the Pontiac Silverdome in Pontiac, Michigan. And all you can say is that, you know, Detroit City actually being a big story for soccer, you know, in the country. And now they've made this move to go into USL Championship. You just have to say that, you know, maybe the next time if the World Cup does return to the U.S., that maybe Ford Field will be considered for a World Cup venue inside Detroit, inside the city of Detroit.
Right.
So, I mean, obviously I can understand why. Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Or Ann Arbor. I think that would have been the, that would have probably been the play, right? But maybe they don't have enough luxury boxes or whatever FIFA requires there. There wasn't even a, they weren't even a finalist, Detroit. I don't even know if they bid, actually. I don't think – maybe they did bid in the early stages, but they weren't a finalist. But you – that's – yeah, and so the choices in the Midwest, I think, is something upon reflection we have to think about because it came down to Kansas City and Cincinnati. Normally, if you're thinking
yeah.
of the Midwest, you would think – the major cities are Chicago. Chicago stands out, obviously. Chicago, and I've explained why they weren't a finalist. Detroit, Minnesota, Minneapolis, St. Paul. And maybe if you're looking at a place beyond that, you would think Indy or Milwaukee. Or maybe not Milwaukee, but St. Louis. And it came down to Kansas City and Cincinnati, which is kind of remarkable. Whereas in the other regions, it was all the major cities. What cities were we talking about in my region, the Southeast? Nashville, Atlanta, Orlando, Miami. Those are the major cities in the region. In the Northeast, we were talking about Washington, Baltimore, Philly, New York, Boston. Those are the major cities in the region. West Coast, we're talking about L.A., San Francisco, Seattle, Vancouver. Those are the major cities in the region. So the Midwest is really kind of – and obviously Southwest, we were talking about Phoenix, Dallas, Houston. Those are the major cities. So this was a bit of an anomaly. But I think it's a strong thing, Daniel, to talk about because it shows that there were fans in the Midwest, as you've just talked about with Omaha and other places like that, all over the place in that region, which is a wonderful thing that's happened.
No, it really is. And let me just say this, and even though Chicago does not have or was not given the World Cup nod to host games, I mean, you can still have these national teams go to Bridgeview. Nobody's using SeatGeek Stadium. You can still use SeatGeek Stadium for training. Get to downtown Chicago, Union Station, hop on the Amtrak, or take a short flight to Kansas City to get ready for your game. So, I mean, you can still use, you know, some of these cities, you know, whether they have an MLS team, a USL team, you can still use their stadiums or use whatever stadiums are available for your training sessions, and then you hop on a flight or you get on the train and you go to your destination wherever you are going to be. So, I mean, it's still a win-win if you're going to have these national teams using, you know, former MLS stadiums or, you know, training facilities, the colleges to go and train and then just hop on a bus, train or plane and just get to the station and get to the stadiums where there will be World Cup games.
And so this is also an impetus to improve the transportation between the cities in this period.
Yep, exactly. Obviously, we didn't talk on the Mexico side of things. Obviously, we all knew the Estadio Azteca was going to be in there, a historic venue for all of Mexico. The Estadio Akron in Guadalajara, where Chivas plays, obviously that they were going to get picked for this. But I have to say, Monterrey's Estadio BBVA, my God, Cardick. Ever since they built that brand new stadium, I mean, I don't know if you've seen any CONCACAF Champions League matches last year, but that stadium is so majestic. It is so amazing to watch. I've heard from friends of mine, colleagues of mine who follow Liga MX, that stadium is just huge and it's tremendous and it's just an amazing venue to watch a Monterrey match since they left the stadium that they share with Tigres to go to that stadium. That's amazing.
Yeah, no, that's going to be a great, great venue. I think, quite frankly, Guadalajara and Monterrey have me probably more excited than Mexico City at this point. I think also in Mexico, the best football is being played outside of Mexico City these days, although Cruz Azul won a title recently. But that has me excited. I think that's going to be good. I think Vancouver will be a good venue. I guess the energy from local populations will probably be supplemented by people traveling. That happens in every World Cup. But in terms of energy from local populations, I think probably the city that is most excited to host a World Cup would be Toronto. Of all the 16 cities chosen in all three countries, Mexico City is obviously hosted before. Guadalajara is obviously hosted before. The U.S., I think there's – maybe you put Atlanta on that list, right, because they've never hosted anything big before. We recently had a Copa America in the United States. So all of these cities, most of them at least, hosted – were part of Copa 2016. I'm trying to remember the host city.
Yep.
Well, come to think of it, Copa 2016, as I said at the outset, I thought maybe Orlando, I would have gone to Orlando, Nashville instead of Atlanta, Miami. I guess you could have made a case to go Nashville, Atlanta, or Orlando, Miami because of the geographic closeness. And as you and I talk about almost on a daily basis with one another personally, Daniel, there will be an incredible high-speed rail between Orlando and Miami by the time this World Cup rolls around, a lot, lot sooner than that, actually, and the only one in the country. So maybe it would have made sense to pick them both. But 2016 Copa America, Orlando got chosen over Miami. And part of the my understanding on that was partly done to spite Stephen Ross at the time. He was battling with some, so it wasn't actually necessarily a straight pick. It was a pick where, hey, you know, you're trying to compete with the International Champions Cup, so we're going to push back and we're going to cut you out of the out of the Copa America. But when it comes to the World Cup, that's a bigger deal. They're not going to cut them out of it. And it's not their choice. It's the choice
exactly.
of FIFA. Yeah.
Exactly. No, you're absolutely right there, Cardick. But I will say this about Miami. I mean, let's be honest with ourselves here. Sooner rather than later, they were due for a big event like this. They were really due to have something, over at Hard Rock Stadium, the home of the Miami Dolphins, to get World Cup games over there. I mean, let's be honest with ourselves here. You know as well as
Daniel,
I do the amount
real
of
quickly,
South Americans
real,
that live there.
Daniel, real quickly, I got a text from someone who's listening to us. We'll get back to Miami in a minute because obviously it's where I live, so want to talk about it. But a friend of mine who's listening is reminding me that Washington had dropped their bid in favor of Baltimore. It was effectively a joint bid, and they would have played in Baltimore.
I see.
So there was no – Wentover was not being considered. It was Baltimore. It was Washington, Baltimore, but they would have played in Baltimore.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
That's just sorry we said Wentover. That was a consideration earlier on. They had joined their bids together. That's right, and we're back in Baltimore. Continue. On
okay. Miami. Well, I was going to say was I think sooner rather than later, Miami was going to be a part of this World Cup, unlike back in 1994 where Orlando over when it was called the Citrus Bowl I remember they hosted Mexico against Republic of Ireland, and Mexico won that one 2-0. And that was a fun time, obviously, for everyone. But, you know, sooner rather than later, Miami was going to get a World Cup involvement some way, somehow. I mean, we all knew, you know, they would always have big-time club matches for friendlies, Barcelona, Real Madrid, you know, Boca Juniors and River Plate, you know, all these big friendly games that were going to be big, these big rivalries, big derbies. But sooner rather than later, they were going to get a World Cup match or two, and right now this is what they're going to get. And look, I understand, as you said correctly, Brightline, which is the new high-speed rail that's going to be in Florida from at the moment right now from Orlando to Miami, which, of course, they're going to now extend it to Tampa, but, you know, they got to start – they got the transportation bill money from the government, so that's going to be exciting to see. But once again, you know, in 2026, you know, they're gonna, you know, maybe that transfer station between Sunrail and Brightline was going to get built so that if they were going to go to Orlando, at least then you could transfer from Brightline to Sunrail somewhere – before you get somewhere in that Sunshine Corridor, and there would have been buses from Church Street going to the Camping World Stadium, but obviously Miami's the pick. Orlando this time around is not. But once again, I mean, I understand where you're coming from with that. You as a natural Floridian.
I should reiterate this. It might have actually been Atlanta that knocked Orlando out, because I had more insight into the Orlando bid than I did into the other bids. I'm not going to divulge my sources or how I know, but I was more involved in talking about than I was Miami bid or Atlanta or New York or any other place. But they had thought that at least some people on their bid had thought Atlanta or Miami would be picked, more likely Miami. If Miami gets picked, they have this rail connecting them to Miami, easy access. You know, you can have a team play in a pod, like how we have a pod system in NCAA basketball. We've done it actually with the Gold Cup too, in this country, and we saw how bad travel was around Europe during the last Euro. It was ridiculous. You know, it's a point that my friend, you know, the great Taylor Twellman always makes to me about last year's Euro, that the travel was insane for some countries, and for some other countries it was not. You know, you have to balance those things. So Orlando had felt like, okay, Miami gets picked, that's okay, because we'll get picked and we're a geographic cluster with Miami. If for some odd reason FIFA decides to go with Atlanta, well, we think Orlando, it matches up well with Atlanta and Nashville. We think we have more hotel rooms. We have better infrastructure within the cities. We have a tourist-friendly environment. We have more international flights. Although they don't in Atlanta, but they, you know, they were thinking they did. But et cetera, et cetera. You know, even if they pick Atlanta, it's a great geographic cluster. Atlanta, Orlando. It's close. It's closer than some other things. So I think, for some people involved with the Orlando bid, Daniel, there was an expectation that I think there was kind of a concession maybe that Miami would get picked, but they didn't think Atlanta would get picked over them. If Miami got picked, it might help them because they're closer to Miami and they have Brightline coming. I assume FIFA knows Brightline is coming because the Orlando bid either had it in their bid, but who knows when they make these decisions based.
We don't know, but I'll say this, though. Since they're going to be in Miami, I will say this. Aventura, which they're building a station now in Aventura along Biscayne Boulevard, that's technically, in reality, that's closer to Hard Rock Stadium, where you can have buses pick you up and take you to Hard Rock Stadium to get to those stadiums. So
close to the Miami or Fort Lauderdale station. The closest tri-rail station is either the Hollywood station or the Golden Glade station. So you do have tri-rail pretty close to Joe Robbie also. I know in the past when teams have played at Joe Robbie, they've stayed at the Diplomat, which is in Hallandale, which is right on the beach. Yeah. Speaking of Taylor Swift, I met him one day when ESPN, he was doing a game there. ESPN put him up there. So there is access from the train. So that's actually, I just thought maybe they would, and I agree with the Orlando Big people, like maybe they'd want to do it on both ends. You've got the Aventura station for Brightline, and then you've got the Orlando International Airport station, or actually the iDrive station from Brightline. Let's just remind people of Daniel, because I don't know if people know what we're talking about. This is not a regular railroad. This isn't your light rail in Seattle or your light rail in Miami, right? We're just talking about Tri-Rail, Miami-Fort Lauderdale light rail. This is a high-speed rail like you have in Europe or you have in Japan that is going to reach high speeds that gets you from place to place in less time than driving or really realistically at this point than flying. It's
exactly.
The first of its kind. Obviously, the Acela should be like this, and the Acela does hit that speed in some areas. Like the stretch from like Baltimore to Philly, it hits a pretty good speed. The stretch from like Trenton until you get to the tunnel under the Hudson, it's a pretty good speed. But you don't have the Acela. But then the Acela is not as fast as it should be. The goal is for the Acela train to also be this kind of higher speed rail. But Brightline will be that, at least from West Palm Beach to Orlando, if not the whole length. By 2026, or actually sooner than that. So that's why the bids for the Florida cities look particularly attractive, particularly considering that high-speed rail, which is in place in Germany. 2006, people tell me, who got to all the World Cups, say that was the best World Cup, because you got on a train and you went from city to city. You didn't have to get on an airplane. You didn't have to rent a car. You didn't have to do anything. Whereas when you went to Japan has the high-speed rail also, but 2010, when you went to South Africa, no such thing. Brazil, we know how difficult that was to get around. Russia has nothing like this. Qatar is a small country, so I guess you can get around easily. But that's why, Daniel, maybe because you and I are transportation geeks, we're dwelling on this. But that's why the Florida bid looked particularly good, Florida City bids. And then now that we mentioned it about the Acela, that's why Boston – not that there's an Acela station in Foxborough, but there's an Acela station in Providence. But New Jersey and Philly look particularly good because of the train, maybe not Foxborough. And let's remind everyone it's Foxborough and not Boston.
That's right. It's going to be in Foxborough, Massachusetts. We'll be closer to Providence. But the only way to get to Foxborough from Boston is the commuter railroad in Boston, that T train. So there's no train that goes from Providence to Foxborough, so you have to go all the way to Boston just so you can get that commuter railroad train to get to Foxborough.
Oh, yeah.
So
you have to go right, or you'd have to get off in Providence and take a lift or something, which you don't. Which is going to defeat the purpose of taking the Acela to Providence. So,
exactly.
Yeah. Foxborough. Exactly. Actually, Daniel, as you mentioned it, I think maybe Foxborough is the venue that sticks out to me the most as being up the state. And I would have just slid Baltimore in there in its place. So now that we've gotten clarification, by the way, from someone listening that Washington and Baltimore were not competing against each other. Washington had decided to drop the Landover bid and back Baltimore's bid. That's to me pretty I don't know. It's tough to not give things to Boston. Boston is one of the great cities in this hemisphere, but it's they don't have a proper venue. And we've had this conversation over and over again. We're talking about MLS. Whatever we're talking about, we talked about this issue of Foxborough for 25 years, it feels like. And I guess we're going to be talking about it for four more now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, how many times that the Crafts were ready to build a stadium and then they pulled the rug out of everyone, and, you know, they had some great venue locations to do it at, especially, you know, near, you know, their transit system stations, but then they just take it away and it's just going to remain over in Foxborough. And, you know, sooner rather than later, they got to build something. They got to go out and build a soccer stadium for the Revolution. I mean, it's nice to have everything all in one place, but the truth is it's time for them to really, you know, grow up and just, you know, look, pick a place you want to build it and let's, you know, make it as big as possible. Make it for soccer, and then hopefully somewhere down the road, you know, it'll be ready for a World Cup somewhere down the road in the distant future. We'll see what happens. But once again, Kartik, you know, look, there's some questions. There's a lot of great choices. And if you want to really, like I said, the only MLS stadium that, if you're looking at both U.S. and Canada, that's going to host a World Cup, it's going to be BMO Field in Toronto, because they're not going to be playing at Rogers Stadium, Rogers Center over in Toronto, because that's mostly now just for the Blue Jays. I mean, Toronto FC, they're going to have World Cup games there in Toronto at BMO Field. I mean, that's the only logical place you're going to have it. There's no other venue in Toronto that is big enough to host, you know, a World Cup match.
And you can't not have the World Cup in Toronto, which was the point we've said initially. Now, they had made the decision. What was the venue that got cut out of the Women's World Cup? Was it Montreal?
Toronto.
Or was it was Toronto?
No, Toronto.
Yeah.
So it was Toronto.
It was Toronto. What? Yeah. So I remember the controversy over that. And I thought it was Toronto, but I asked you the question because I thought maybe it was Montreal. It was Toronto, and the outcry made it feel as great as that World Cup was, and we remember that fondly as Americans in particular, and Carly Lloyd.
Yep.
You know, after the struggles to get to the final, and Japan had been a team we'd had so much trouble beating, they were neck and neck with us at that point in time. You know, that was when we pulled away from Japan, pulled away from the rest of the world with that match. But that World Cup, there was a cloud over it because of the turf and because they didn't have games in Toronto. And as I said earlier in the show, I think no city is going to be a better host city in terms of the local population than Toronto. So BMO is smaller. BMO is what? They can push it to 35, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
They could bring in some temporary. But that's about it. But it's going to be a proper venue. And I think it's going to be fantastic. And I hope that, assuming Canada is in as the host, or they qualify. I think they qualify if they're not given a direct entry. They're that good now. I actually saw a World Cup thing by a British site that ranked. They didn't totally diss the U.S., but they ranked Canada ahead of us, and they were rating Canada pretty highly, by the way, going into the World Cup. But Canada, I would hope that the Canadian national team would be able to play games at BMO. That would be awesome. In a World Cup,
same.
Can you imagine?
No, I think that'd be great.
Best.
Of course. No, I think it's great. I think BMO Field has been a great venue for the Canadian national team, either the men or the women. I think the women better on the West Coast, especially in Vancouver. But I will say this right now, Kartik. I mean, I don't have really a problem with any of the venue picks. I mean, yeah, we can question here and there. You feel bad for Chicago. You feel bad for Baltimore. But other than that, I just think that we got ourselves in 4 years' time. I think we got the right venues. I think we got the right ideas and to see what will happen in 4 years' time. And I just cannot wait for the World Cup to come after we're done in Qatar. And hopefully for this upcoming World Cup, the USA has a good run, and we'll see what they'll do once November comes around.
Yeah, we will, and we'll have a lot of time to preview that and talk about the teams in our group too, England and Wales, who I follow closely, and Iran, who admittedly, Daniel, I need to learn a lot about it. I think you might be in the same boat.
Yeah.
I don't know as much about us England and England a lot about.
Yeah, exactly, and I agree with you. I mean, but the thing is this, I want revenge for 98. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
I want
revenge
for 98. That's because that's the last time the U.S. and Iran were in the same World Cup World Cup group in the World Cup. So we'll see what happens there. But, Kartik, thank you again, as always. Appreciate your time, and I'll